Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to Monday. It would be Monday. It's Monday all day long, but my gosh, it's a fine looking Monday. And Boomer's on the board. Hey, buddy.
Hey, hey.
How are you?
Oh, good weekend. And
you
a good day.
You say that like a tired dad.
I'm a tired dad.
but
it was a good one.
You're covered up in birthday parties and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's good. It's good, though.
Yeah.
It's good. I got to relax. Did you relax?
What does that mean?
I don't know.
I don't know how to spell that.
Hang out, I guess.
Well, I actually sat outside on the deck and read a book for a while. That qualifies. And now I'm sunburned because of it.
Oh, that's the red tint.
That's because I'm so pasty that I burned like a crisp out there. Just anyway. All right, we got a great show laid on for you. 4 o'clock today. You're going to want to stay tuned. Our buddy Dale Jackson is going to be calling in. We're having a discussion about police and the lack thereof. Why is it so hard to recruit right now? Well, I got thoughts, and I feel certain knowing Dale Jackson, he does too. That'll be at 4 o'clock today, so stay tuned for that. And then there's this triple dipper that's just filled up with stuff, so hit it.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper. Three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. Number one, I'm calling it Enabling the Theater of the Absurd. Yeah, there's a name. So what does it mean when you enable something? Well, that means you're empowering the behavior. You're basically causing the behavior to perpetuate. Well, when you enable the theater of the absurd, what are you doing? Well, you're basically saying, yeah, you're right, people. There is no hope. You're a victim. Everything's got to get worse. Well, why are we doing that? We'll talk about it. I got some examples. Number one, enabling theater of the absurd. And then number two, yeah, I just titled this one, We Know That They Know. Have you seen how many things are out there like right now, why does Susan Rice just leave the administration right before Joe Biden announces re-election? Huh. And what is going on with the Hunter Biden laptop? Huh. And what is the deal with the fact that we still haven't had an announcement as to who leaked the Supreme Court Dobbs decision? Huh. We know they know. Don't tell us they don't. They are stalling on some of this stuff, and we deserve to know, so we'll cover that too. Number two on the Triple Dipper, we know that they know. And then number three on the Triple Dipper, I'm calling it Safe Streets. Because right now, across the state of Alabama, right here in our backyard, we are facing a recruiting loss of law enforcement officers at the local and state level like we've never seen before. Where have they all gone? Well, I got thoughts on that, and I'll be honest with you. Some of that is to be expected based upon what law enforcement officers have had to put up with in recent years. So we'll talk about it. Number three on the Triple Dipper, Safe Streets. All right, let me jump over here to my opening comments. So first of all, I really do like some reality shows. I mean, there's some stupid reality shows. I don't know who came up with the idea of Naked and Afraid, but that has to be the absolute most brain-numbing, ridiculous. Two people getting paid to walk around buck-ass naked in the jungle and being scared. What a stupid show. Boomer's laughing right now. But all that to say, there are some that I do like. I still love the show Overhauling. Love it. You got a guy or sometimes a lady, and they've got that car they've always wanted to restore. They've never been able to do it because they can't afford it, but they're wonderful people, and their family sets them up for a prank. And next thing you knew, the legendary Chip Foose, and if you're a car guy, you know who Chip Foose is. Chip Foose comes in, they do a total prank, totally punk the person, and kind of make off with their car under pretenses. And next thing you know, the person gets their car back in a way better shape than they ever had it. Love that show. But that's a practical joke gone right. It doesn't always work out that way. I mean, beginning back with the early days of television in 1948, the catchphrase, "Smile, you're on candid camera," became a part of pop culture. An entire genre of primetime viewing sprang out of that one show with spinoffs, reboots, syndications, international copycats around the globe. And some have said that Candid Camera with host Alan Funt was the original reality show. Amazingly detailed practical jokes can take some time to develop. Planning, staging, orchestrating a scenario that leads the victim, you know, down a primrose path of emotion and incredulity. Well, that takes time and planning, right? Candid Camera turned the practical joke into an art form. Multiple versions of the gag-oriented hidden camera franchise have appeared on U.S. television for over 7 decades, with the latest iteration being a celebrity-focused show called Punked. So for those who don't know, the latest trends in modern vernacular, punked, simply means someone has been the butt of a well-played, often public practical joke. So punking someone can be done in fun, with smiles all around. Whoop, whoop, that was funny, man, look at you. But punking can also be hurtful. Punking can be spiteful. Punking can be insensitive. It can be even bullying. Candid Camera and its spinoffs have actually faced multiple lawsuits on multiple occasions for everything from bodily injuries, emotional distress, invasion of privacy, and more as a result of punking gone too far. And let's face it, sometimes the punker just has little regard for the punky. And I'll be honest with you, that's exactly what happened in a recent series of events right here in our Alabama State Senate. Let me switch gears slightly and I'll come back to that thought. Recent polling indicates an overwhelming majority of Alabamians, overwhelming, support the concept of expanded school choice. Across the nation, Republican majorities have expanded school choice for their state residents. I mean, just in 2023 alone, Indiana, Arkansas, Arizona, Florida, Iowa, Utah, West Virginia have all passed legislation that gives families the ability for universal school choice by allowing parents to have the final say as to what the educational environment best fits their child's needs. Okay. And a review of Alabama's budgets, by the way, indicates the coffers are full. Largest education budgets in state history, bar none. Despite being flush with cash, Alabama remains at the bottom of the heap in education quality and outcomes. I mean, this is a gross injustice to our children, especially given that a number of states spend less per child in Alabama and yet rank higher overall. It's proof positive, in my opinion, that money is not the issue. It's how we spend the money. So, getting back to punking. Enter the Price Act, and State Senator Johnny Chesteen, chairman of the Senate Education Policy Committee, a Republican from down yonder in Geneva, and the biggest political punking of 2023. You see, the Price Act, which is really the Parents' Rights in Children's Education Act, it's a landmark school choice bill. It's on par with those that are passed in other states. Sponsored by Senator Larry Stutz, a Republican from over in Tuscumbia, right here in our listening area. He's been on the show talking about it. Other Republicans also co-sponsored the Price Act with him. The Price Act would establish that Alabama believes that funds for education are first and foremost for the education of a child. They are less about funding the government system that we know as public schools. And listen, despite all the rhetoric from the teachers' union, nowhere in the nation has such a legislation ever dismantled public education. In fact, it is often found that the free market principle of competition, it drives the public school system to improvement. But the teachers' union and Alabama's educrats fear change, and they certainly fear any loss of power. I mean, you follow the money, you'll also find that a large swath of Republican legislators have been taking campaign donations from the teachers' union, despite the longstanding prohibition on doing so by the state Republican Party. Having said all that, with complete disregard, the great Price Act punk was orchestrated. You see, when he dropped the bill in, Senator Stutz asked for the Price Act to be assigned to the Education Budget Committee. He was reportedly assured that Senator Chesteen's Education Policy Committee, though, was the best assignment for it. This is where we need to send it, Senator. Well, populism runs really strong with this bill, so when it was announced that a public hearing was going to be held, a large crowd of supporters took time from work to travel down to Alabama State House to participate in the moment and to support this highly sought and very conservative piece of legislation. Speakers for and against the bill were given the opportunity to speak, with one of the leading proponents being Terry Lathan, the immediate past chair of the Republican Party, who herself appeared on this show last week. At the end of every supportive speech about the Price Act, the crowd applauded loudly. I mean, the energy in the room, y'all, everything that I'm hearing, the energy in the room certainly favored getting a vote for what is called a favorable report to move that bill out of committee to the floor of the Senate, and that's when it happened. Without so much as a word of consideration or a sidebar with his colleague, Chairman Chesteen inexplicably announced the bill would now be recommitted without a vote to the clerk of the Senate for referral to the Education Budget Committee. That's right, the same one that originally had been sought. I mean, the room was stunned. The bill sponsor was caught off guard. He called it a stalling tactic. This is not, by the way, having spent 8 years down there, I can tell you this is not the usual way of doing things. Because the Price Act, it got punked. At this point, the bill still has not been recommitted. The legislative clock is ticking. They have like 15 days left. In 8 years of service in the state Senate, I saw some hoodoo and some backroom finagling. But the punking of the Price Act last week, it ranks as one of the most disrespectful and misleading incidents against the general public and certainly of fellow caucus members. That was a Republican chairman who didn't even bother to tell his Republican colleague that he was not going to do that. He was not going to bring it to a vote. He was going to let everybody travel down there under the guise of doing something meaningful, only to have them spend their day in a public hearing that meant nothing, because he planned all along to punt and send it back for a review to another committee. So it starts all over again. And I'm going to tell you, members of the Republican Party should be livid. There are co-sponsors who did their research. There are people who held press conferences. And there were certainly members of the public who traveled down there, and they got punked, every one of them. Well, punking the public is bad form. Punking a colleague is unprofessional. Punking the Price Act is just bad for Alabama's children. And Chairman Chesteen gets the Punk Award for the year. That's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there you have it. And yeah, I mean, you can watch Overhauling. You get a good result, right? At the end, everybody's happy and tearful, and I got overhauled. Not the Price Act. Price Act got punked, man. It was basically a bully tactic. It was a teacher's union got to me, so I'm just going to go ahead and get this out of here and stall it because, you know, maybe I can run the clock out on the session. That's exactly what happened. Well, it's up again in committee this week, and we will see where it goes. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. Text lines are already open. You want to text on in, the number is indeed, as always, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Frank from Madison just texted in and said, actually, candid camera was in 1958. He says, but your point still holds. I am looking at it right now. The Oracle of Google tells me it was August of 1948. Originally, it was a radio title, but it went on to become a TV show, and it premiered on ABC on August 10th of 1948. Frank, if you got something different, tell me. Either way, thank you, Frank. My point still holds. Nonetheless, glad you're in the audience. Jeremy from Huntsville, fantastic monologue, he says. Thank you, sir. David from Huntsville says, loved your rant on the punking of the Price Act. Senator Chesteen and any Senate leadership that agree with this plan are just wrong. Agreed, man. John from Huntsville. John from Huntsville is talking to you about the bracket. I see you guys have already communicated on that. I got you. Rita from Scottsboro says, hey, Boomer and Phil. It's a long text. Now I need to go back and see what's what because I can't read it and think it at the same time. I will go back and check out your text, Rita. Thank you very much. And Gary from Decatur. You often ask the question, why such a deep red state does so many blue things? You just answered the question, Colonel. They got bought off by the AEA. That's the teachers union. I am not going to argue that point, Gary. And then Missy from Faulkner has texted in and says, Colonel, I know you set a time for political service. She wants me to run for something again. Don't be wishing that kind of thing on me, Missy. Thank you very much, but I appreciate you. I like what I'm doing right now. I feel called to be in the seat with this microphone and Boomer on the board. So, hey, Boomer.
Yeah.
All right. Reality shows. I saw you cracking up when I was talking about Naked and Afraid.
Okay, I will say, when that first came on, I thought it was hilarious.
You watched that show?
I totally watched it. When it first came on, I totally watched it. But then you were asking me during the break, like, what are some of my favorite reality shows? And I start naming them. You're like, that's not a reality show. I guess I don't watch reality shows.
If they have
shows.
To use a script, it's not reality. like American Choppers, I used to love that one. That's a reality show. What else was I loved Overhauling? But you like watching Naked and Afraid?
Well, I mean, watching it as that's in like I watched downfall. It maybe like 15 episodes total. I mean, in my whole entire
that
life.
That is 15 hours of your life you'll never get back.
But I laughed a lot during those 15 hours.
I just don't get it. I mean, how much did they pay these people to get buck naked and go wandering through the briars in the jungle? And
exactly. That's what my friends and I sat there like, I wonder how much they're getting paid for this. Like, you know, people getting bit by snakes in their butt. I mean, it's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, that's
hilarious.
Yeah. You know what? I was trained to go into the jungle with the right gear. Just saying.
Not with nothing.
Not with nothing. Not with a whole lot of nothing. Oh my gosh. So what else? What other shows?
Oh boy. I watched a little bit of American Idol at the very beginning.
American Idol, that would be a reality show, yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a game show / reality show.
Yeah, and, you know, I was a music guy as well growing up, so I guess I enjoyed that, you know.
I had a friend whose son was on either American Idol or America's Got Talent. I forget which one. He was a cadet at the Air Force Academy, and he and a bunch of friends were like in the Air Force show choir or whatever, and they used to sing in the stairwell because the acoustics were so good. And it gets to thing that people would gather at the base of the stairwell to listen to them. So they on a lark, they tried out for America's Got Talent. And next thing you know, they made the show, and they made it like to like the final four or something like
that.
Wow. And they were epic good. Yeah. So
that's cool.
My good friend's son was one of the lead singers. Now he's like a captain in the Air Force.
Wow.
Intel or something. But all right. All right. Hey, we got a full slate of stuff lined up for you. So we're going to come right back in a minute. Enabling the theater of the absurd is what I'm calling it. So here's the deal. Some of this stuff, it just stops cold. It stops cold if people will stop giving it room. Like, you know, why are we enabling that behavior? Why are we saying, well, if you'll stop screaming at me, I'll give you more, because then they'll never stop. They always want more. And next thing you know, the media is going to encourage the behavior by running a story or doing an interview. Or wait till you hear, by the way, in a minute, we're going to do a sound clip from Vivek Ramaswamy being interviewed by no less than Chuck Todd, one of the more vaunted of the leadership in the in CNN. And the question is, it's more, now the answer to the question by Vivek Ramaswamy was great. I mean, it was spot on. But the fact that this was a question at all, just, I mean, it's the theater of the absurd, y'all. It is literally madness. It's like they have come at everything, and everything to a liberal right now is victimhood. Everything's bad. Why do we try? We must have more. You must give us more because things are bad. They're not bad. Somebody tell them to man up. How about that? All right. We'll talk about it. Theater of the absurd. Why are we enabling that? That's first on the Triple Dipper. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hey, all you right side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And I mean, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, that'd be Alabama. Talk about this show broadcast at Signal way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. All right, Boomer, I got to ask you, man. I mean, this may be before your time frame. I don't know, although they've been around forever.
All right.
Do you like the rock band Kiss?
Kiss. I mean, I know their music. I listen to them, absolutely. And I may have almost went out on tour with them.
Okay. All right, hold on. Can we stop the show for a second?
The layers of Boomer.
Hang on. The layers of Boomer is right. All right, hang on a second. You did tour with Kenny Chesney.
Correct.
And several others that we won't name right now. But the bottom line is you did all that stuff.
Right.
All right, that's not the same genre, dude. So how
completely different. It's just all about the people you meet.
Inquiring minds want to know. What is this Almost story about?
Almost, like, I was literally about to go out on tour with them. I was going to be their one of their production coordinators. And then decided about a couple weeks prior, it wasn't the right time. And actually it wasn't, because if I would have gone out on that tour, I would have never met my wife.
So, you brought it back around.
I didn't know her before that. I didn't know her before.
Wow.
So it literally was, if I would have gone out on tour, I was supposed to go on tour with them in Trans-Siberian Orchestra right after. And then I just didn't feel like I needed to. And then lo and behold, I met my wife 3 weeks after that decision.
That is awesome.
I know.
But so is touring with Kiss. I mean, were they going to have you wear makeup and like 9-inch
No, I was actually
boots?
Really excited about it. It was going to be pretty epic. I mean, let's be honest. It would have been with
this
Kiss.
This is in their resurgence, but still wearing makeup days.
Yes.
So Gene Simmons, Paul Stanley were still there.
Yeah.
This is... Okay. I may or may not have been a part of the Kiss Army fan club when I was in junior high.
No way. No. Please, if there's any pictures that arise.
No, there are not.
I'm sure there are.
Although I know I was Paul Stanley for Halloween one year.
Oh.
So, okay. Yes. God, that's crazy. And then Trans-Siberian, what'd you say?
Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do all, like, especially like the Christmas tour.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Golly, man, that's pretty eclectic.
A lot.
So you are not bound to a genre of music,
not
apparently.
Bound. I am not bound to
genre
of
music. You travel with contemporary Christian. You did all kinds of stuff.
All of it, yeah.
You're pretty crazy. All right, so that's as cool. By the way, I got to ask, though, first of all. I'm not leaving this yet. The audience.
Still love it.
We're just going to have to wait for the Dipper. You have ransacked the Dipper right now.
I did. Totally ransacked it.
So did you actually interview with Gene Simmons or Paul Stanley? Because I've heard they're the two business guys of the group.
No, I was going through a different avenue. So I already knew somebody that was managing with them, and they're the ones that actually just asked me.
So they didn't walk in without their makeup, and you're like, I still know who you are.
Right.
Okay. Wow. All right. Very cool, dude. So you may be curious to know... And I didn't see this coming. So here's my first Dipper, right? My very first Dipper is, I'm calling it Enabling the Theater of the Absurd. I did not expect to see, although I'm not surprised, because I will say this. There's a lot of folks in, and you know this, Boone, there's a lot of folks in entertainment that are actually conservative. Too many of them are scared to speak out.
Mm-hmm.
Country music seems to have its fair share of folks who will speak out. But then, like, in rock music... You know, you've got like Bruce Springsteen just seems to trash America every time he turns around. And there's not many that I'll just boycott. Like, I'll turn the channel just because of who it is. He's one of them, just because he's trashed America so many times. I quit listening to the Dixie Chicks altogether. Don't even want anything to do with them. Even changed their name to something stupid and woke and forgotten what. But here's the thing. I did not expect to see Kiss step out and make a comment. Paul Stanley from Kiss is weighing in on the transgenders with kids, with transgender therapies on kids.
Right.
So here's a story from Daily Wire. Came out yesterday, actually. Kiss singer and guitarist Paul Stanley called normalizing gender reassignment surgery on children a sad and dangerous trend. Yay. And by the way, these guys are capitalists. I mean, they were the first ones to truly grab hold of their brand and do things with it that no one thought she could do with a rock group.
They
brand.
Ran with it.
I'm talking about, my gosh, they took a brand into the next level. I mean, what group has ever had playing cards with their faces on it? I'm just saying. Paul Stanley is now 71, which, of course, makes me feel really old. Paul Stanley, 71, co-founder of the iconic rock group formed in the 70s, posted a statement where he shared thoughts about the controversial topic and what he calls a new social contagion that has swept the U.S. recently and convinced minors to mutilate their bodies. Okay, I'm going to read you some of this, because this is actually really something. Paul Stanley, his words, there's a big, all caps, difference between teaching acceptance and normalizing and even encouraging participation in a lifestyle that confuses young children into questioning their sexual identification as though it's some sort of game, and parents in some cases even allow it. And then he goes on to say, There are individuals who, as adults, may decide reassignment is their needed choice, but turning this into a game, or parents normalizing as some sort of natural alternative, or believing that because a little boy likes to dress up in his sister's clothes or a little girl in her brother's, that we should lead them steps further down a path that's far from the innocence of what they are doing. And then in conclusion, he says, with many children who have no real sense of sexuality or sexual experience, caught up in the fun of using pronouns and saying what they identify as, some adults are mistakenly confusing this as teaching acceptance with normalizing and encouraging a situation that has been a struggle for those who were truly affected, have turned it into a sad and dangerous fad. That's Paul Stanley from Kiss. I did not see that coming.
Wow.
But what he just did was he decided as a celebrity, he decided to stop enabling bad behavior.
That's awesome.
It is awesome.
I mean, good for him.
Yeah. And using his platform to do it. But folks, here's the deal. When I put the title on this dipper, Enabling the Theater of the Absurd, and I know for a fact I'm going to talk about this a little bit more tomorrow. I've already written my monologue for tomorrow. I'll do this tomorrow some too. Enabling the Theater of the Absurd. Theater of the Absurd was a drama, a version of the dramatic arts that sort of sprang up in the late 40s after World War II. And it was basically this kind of hopeless monologuish style of acting out a play that showed hopelessness and why do we try and the world is all victimization and there is nothing but despair. Okay, why do you want to sit and watch that? I don't know. But it's a thing, the theater of the absurd. You're creating victims. You're expressing no hope. And then when you enable that, enabling in the counseling environment means you have just encouraged it to continue. Maybe even incentivized it to continue. Maybe even making it bigger. Well, then you got to have people who are willing to say, stop that crap. Just stop. Stop throwing your tantrum. That's not the way we act around here. Stop telling your lies. That doesn't fly around here. Stop acting out like this and demanding things that you know we're not going to give you. When is society going to get back to the point that we look at craziness, absurdity, and say, the answer is no. Just stop. I got the sound clip. Remember, if you get that ready. I got this sound clip I found either this morning or last night. I forget when. Vivek Ramaswamy, who I don't think he's going to get elected as president, but I think the man's a genius. I think he deserves a position in the administration of whoever's elected. And I have yet to hear him say something I didn't agree with. And he always says it so concisely with such cogent analysis. So Vivek Ramaswamy was on CNN being interviewed by Chuck Todd. I will also say this. Vivek Ramaswamy is not scared to go get interviewed by somebody he knows doesn't like him. So he goes to see Chuck Todd. And I want you to hear the question that Chuck Todd asks him and then hear his answer. But then I want you to also think about the fact that question was even asked. Go ahead.
How do you know it's that? Again, how do you know? Are you confident that you know that gender is as binary as you're describing it? Are you confident that it isn't a spectrum?
I am.
You know this as a scientist?
Well, there's two X chromosomes. If you're a woman, an X and a Y, that means you're a man.
There's a lot of scientific research out there. There's a lot of scientific research out there that says gender is a spectrum.
Chuck, I respectfully disagree. Gender dysphoria for most of our history, all the way through the DSM-5, has been characterized as a mental health disorder. And I don't think it's compassionate to affirm that. I think that's cruelty. When a kid is crying out for help, what they're asking for is, you got to ask the question of what else is going wrong at home? What else is going wrong at school? Let's be compassionate and get to the heart of that, rather than playing this game as though we're actually changing our medical understanding for the last 100 years. To
this. Wow. How good was that? I mean, you heard it, boom, first impressions.
Oh, man. Right when he said at the very end where they say talking about changing their medical perspective after so many years.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
Right there.
There it is. Like, we just woke up one day and decided all of the millennials or millennium of historical medicine is now trashed.
Exactly.
Biology means nothing. So when do we stop enabling this? Well, what I loved in there was that's exactly what Ramaswamy was saying. But then I have to find myself asking, wait a minute, wait. That was a good answer. Good job, conservative guy. Great answer. And it was a great answer. And he was talking about, let's stop enabling this, which, by the way, is a direct affront to Chuck Todd, who asked a stupid question. Boomer, do we have a jackassery sound effect? I'm pretty sure. Yes. Let's just go ahead and play it. Golly. So here's the thing, y'all. Think about the fact that CNN, a major network, don't be surprised, I know they're liberal, but CNN, a major news network, one of their chief hosts who does some of their big name interviews, Chuck Todd, he thinks that the right thing to do is get a future presidential candidate up there and ask him, literally ask him, as if he may not know the answer, that is he sure that gender is not a spectrum? No. And Ramaswamy didn't even equivocate. Unlike, you know, Ketanji Brown Jackson, who was getting confirmed to the U.S. Supreme Court, despite the fact she couldn't tell what a woman is, Vivek Ramaswamy has looked at him and goes, I don't agree with that at all. I mean, this ain't hard. This ain't rocket science. What Chuck Todd was doing, y'all, was he is enabling bad behavior. He was advancing a narrative that has no basis in reality. Why? Because somewhere along the way, it became easier to just do that than to put up with the screams of those who demand that you do. I'm tired of being yelled at. I'm tired of being doxxed. I'm scared of what these people are going to do. Will I lose my job because I've got liberals that are above me in the pecking order? What's going to happen? I don't know. And so what do we do? You just watch them left and right capitulate. And what that's doing is that's enabling the theater of the absurd. Take me to a break, brother. We'll do that right now. We will take this break. We will come right back. I got more of this. Did you hear about the dude? He's what, 70 years old? Who just won the women's poker tournament. Yeah. Why are we letting this happen? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. All right, so we're in the theater of the absurd. You can imagine there are some absurd things that are happening out there. They happen like daily, like minute by minute. If you're on Absurdity Watch, you may get tired because it's constant. So here's one for you. By the way, the whole point of this segment is not just to do like a woke world kind of thing. It's to talk about the fact that so often what's happening is these events, these things, these incidents of absurdity are being enabled. They're being enabled by governmental offices. They're being enabled by, you know, academic institutions. They're being enabled by organizations and structures that should know better. You know, they're being enabled by sporting events and the associations that govern sporting events. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on and on. Here's one for you. Now, not like, I'm pretty sure, Boomer, that last I checked, poker is not a contact sport.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Yeah, not a contact sport.
And I'm pretty sure that even being a non-contact sport, that there's really nothing that prevents a, you know, like gives a man an advantage over a woman. Would you agree with that in poker?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's no contact.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the same.
If I said there was some way that men had an edge, it would just be to imply that men are smarter, and I'm not saying that at all.
Right.
Yeah. Because if I did, Charlene would have something to say about it.
Yeah. You'd be getting a text very quickly.
I would. Daily Wire came out yesterday. 70-year-old bearded man wins a Ladies World Poker Tour event in Florida. Bearded. Literally says... He was sitting there sporting a white beard and a toothy grin. The only man in the room. His name is David Hughes. It says a 70-year-old man won a World Poker Tour ladies event in Florida on Saturday night. According to one individual, the gentleman signed up for the female-only contest because simply he could, quote, pretend to identify as a woman because they allow anything nowadays, end quote. So I kid you not. Not only that, he won. So, guy named David Hughes, he winds up winning the whole tournament. He beat out 82 women, good at poker apparently. And he can be seen, like it says right here in the third paragraph, sitting around a table surrounded by women sporting a white beard and a toothy grin, the only man in the room. Others took issue with it, but the people in charge of the event, they didn't know what to do, so they just let it happen. Old boy won $5,555.
Well, there...
Just saying.
There you go. Look at that.
It says, when a Twitter user tried suggesting that perhaps Hughes just identified as a female, one of the people who had been there says, nah, 100% I heard him mocking the radical gender ideologies. That's... So what's this happened? And another reaction, by the way, a guy named Charlie Carroll, who's a professional poker player, apparently, he reacted to it saying it's hilarious that he won. And he went on to say, it just pokes fun at the idea that anybody can identify as a woman and be allowed to enter women's spaces. It's a real issue that people are taking advantage of in many different ways, including sports, prisons, and changing areas. And it talks about how it's led to some repercussions. And so, first of all, why did this happen? Because... so many times this nonsense is being enabled. People are like, oh, well, I think he identifies as a grapefruit. Therefore, we must, put him on display with the other fruit.
Put him next to the bananas.
Yeah, I guess. But so as long as you say you identify, everybody goes, oh, get out of the way. He identifies. Let's put the dude who had violent criminal activity against women in a women's prison. That's happening, by the way. Put the dude who couldn't win in the women's sporting event, or in the men's sporting event, in the women's. Oh, that'll work well. Hey, here's one for you. How about the old guy who identifies as a young girl, so he goes in the little girl's changing room? Ugh. That happens.
How about the illegals that identify? They're just going to let them walk through.
Oh, they identify as American citizens.
Yeah.
Nice. I didn't see that one. So the bottom line is this, y'all. The only reason why... old boy with the white beard and the toothy grin felt like he could get away with it was because he watches people get away with it all the time. It's been enabled so often that now it's become a joke. I mean, it was already a joke. Let me rephrase that. He knows he can get away with it. They can't do boo about it. So he just does it. In the meantime, the women who were there for a women's only tournament because it was a camaraderie opportunity, it was a thing, you know, I mean, I don't know that there's any physical interaction that poker should cause you to worry about with the sexes being different, but it was still a women's only event, and a guy won. It's just messed up. And yet, we continue to enable this behavior and sit idly by and watch it. And I'm going to tell you right now, there should have been women who got up and went to the organizers of the event and said, I want my money back, or you're going to get out there and make some common sense apply to this event. But apparently that didn't happen. Everybody's had to stand by and go, today the 70-year-old white bearded guy identifies as a female. Unbelievable. We are just enabling the theater of the absurd. I got a little more on this, and we'll close it up right at the top of the hour. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got local, we got state, we got national, we got sometimes international. All of the issues covering down on them, solid, conservative, and just plain right. How are we in hour number two already?
Time flies.
It does. It does. Is that a new sound effect?
That was just my personal sound effect.
So at some point, we may have to swap stories. Now that I know that you toured with Kiss, I told you during the break that So I was like, you almost toured with Kiss? And I said, well, I almost got beat up by Steven Seagal.
I know. We got to hear this story. That's what I was saying. I was like, we may have to talk about this.
It's pretty funny. I may tell it later on. We got to get through this segment first. Yeah. But yes, I can say safely that I came very close to being beat up by Steven Seagal and getting paid for it.
Oh, even better.
So, all right. Hey, listen, I got some text messages. I'll jump on over here. By the way, if you want to text it on in or call it on in, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. You can give us your thoughts on what we're discussing, and we try to run through them periodically. John from Huntsville has texted in and says, hey, Phil, I guess in today's world, the A in the USA stands for absurdity. That's not bad. He did pretty good on that. All right, I see what you did there. All right. Jeff from Holly Pond says, with regards to that last story, because poker can be a contact sport if you're playing with Doc Holliday. Nice.
That was good.
Nice. Mike from Owens Crossroads, regarding gender dysphoria and gender spectrum, without God's creation, male and female, we wouldn't even be here to have this debate if we follow the incorrect logic or science. That is true. In fact, I saw a meme just the other day. It said, if you put a man and 100 women on a remote island to survive, in 100 years, you would find 1,000 people. Okay. If you put a man and 100 transgender women on an island, in 100 years, you'd find 101 skeletons. Let that sink in. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Brian from Huntsville says, senior man wins women's poker. Good thing it was not senior bingo. Would have been a riot. He's not wrong. Mike from Eva says, liberals have nothing to look forward to, therefore nothing can be good to them. That's the truth. They always come at this. In fact, I'm going to expand on this thought tomorrow, but liberals always attack their issues by coming at it from a negative, woe is me, victimhood, the sky is falling position. They never come at you and say, this is a wonderful opportunity, join me in it. They look at you and go, the earth is going to die if we don't switch to electric vehicles in the next 10 years. Or they'll come at you and say, the people in South America are going to die if we don't let them flood across our borders. Huh. I mean, it just every time you turn around. Trina from Elkmont, the show alone is a good show. Alone. That's right. Bring 10 items and try to survive the longest. Is it better than Naked and Afraid? I've seen pieces of that, and I agree.
I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah. Alone is the same show with clothes.
Oh, okay. Sounds good to me.
Yeah. I always liked the Bear Grylls show, too. You ever seen Bear Grylls?
No, I don't think so.
That's a guy's name, Bear Grylls. He's a former British SAS, and he teaches survival. And sometimes he'll go and do the shows himself and see if he can survive under certain conditions. Like one of the ones I remember the best, I think, was his. He actually went out, deliberately got his car stuck in a snowstorm on a remote road with nothing but a little bit of like things that would have been in your car anyway, like a bottle of water and, you know, a granola bar, and to see if he could last for like 6-7 days. And it was pretty epic. I was learning things like cutting the lining out of your seats to stuff inside your jacket, you know, all kinds of stuff. It was pretty cool. Why am I talking about this right now? But all right, let me jump back over here. So here's a couple more stories in this enabling the theater of the absurd. So here's one from Daily Caller. Came out yesterday. This is the kind of crap that just enables bad behavior. This is the kind of stuff that just makes people want to go and create more divisiveness in culture. Headline, more universities are jumping on the trend of holding race-based graduation events. It says multiple colleges and universities across the country are holding different graduation celebrations and events for students based on their racial backgrounds and sexual orientation. The different events are held for students based on racial or sexual identity. They're in addition to the larger, often official commencement ceremonies honoring graduates according to various event descriptions. Places like University of Oklahoma, Illinois State, Georgetown, California Polytech, Arizona State University, Grand Valley State, Harvard University. These are some of our nation's leading schools. Higher education. Higher. Well, they're high, all right. They're smoking something. Segregated graduations, it says, divide the student body at exactly the time that students should celebrate their common achievements, said one visitor from the Heritage Foundation. I mean, like at University of Oklahoma, they actually had, okay, this is where you can tell they are so deep in the woke, they can't even find their way out. It says, University of Oklahoma's multicultural graduations are hosted by the Multicultural Programs and Services and the Gender Plus Equality Center. I can just tell you right now, the title told me everything. And, quote, offers a more intimate celebration of students' academic journeys. First of all, I feel sad for these people that they want to talk about life as offering a more intimate celebration of students' academic journeys. They are going to get beat up in life.
Oh, they totally are.
I mean, if the grid goes down and the zombie apocalypse happens and the Chinese come over the hill, these are going to be the first people to go. And they're probably going to surrender.
Well, yeah, and their feelings are going to be hurt the rest of their life, yeah. Always.
But I can't get on my Instagram because the power went down. But I did have an intimate celebration of my academic journey.
Boy.
The graduation celebrations, which are held on separate days, are designated for American Indian, Asian American, Pacific Islander, Black, Latinx, and LGBTQ plus students. But hey, Boomer, you and I, by the way, cis white males, we get nothing.
We get nothing.
We're going to get the cis white male ceremony. What can you ask for the cis white male Christian conservative ceremony? Can we do that?
Well, they wouldn't give it to us.
I want to know what happens if you and I walk onto a campus to organize the next cis white male conservative Christian society. Can we do that?
I don't know.
Some would call it the KKK. I know they would.
They would. They would.
They came in here wearing white robes and carrying tiki torches. No, we didn't. Harvard University has 9 scheduled celebrations for students, including programming for Arab graduates, graduates with disabilities, indigenous graduates, those who are first-generation graduates. The programs are student-led, staff-supported. They recognize and celebrate the accomplishments of graduates from marginalized and underrepresented communities and allows them to focus on their cultural traditions and values. You know what? That's crap. This is exactly how you divide society. They call it, by the way, intersectionalities. They have their own divisions, and they divide everything, and then they divide it further. But then if you have two or more, it becomes an intersection. You're gay and Black, there's an intersection. You're gay and Black and disabled, there's another intersection. You're gay and Black and disabled and poor, there's another intersection. And so you basically stack up your intersections. Then it becomes a competition to find more intersectionalities. How many do you have? I've got about 7. Well, I've got 9. Well, you win the internet today. Well, all I'm saying is this. That is enabling the theater of the absurd. Kirk Cameron, I have a great deal of respect for Kirk Cameron. You may remember Kirk Cameron, an actor who has been unabashedly, unashamed to let the world know he's a Christian conservative. And he's used his opportunity coming out of, you know, celebrity as a child star and still doing some adult acting. He's a writer now. He wrote children's books with a company called Brave Books. He's been making tours. He decided, you know what? If they're going to do drag queen story hours at public libraries, well, then I'm going to go out and start doing, you know, story hours for kids that getting a positive message about, in his words, teaching our children to love God and the Bible. And all, by the way, love our country. And Sean Fugt, you know, I'm talking about Sean Fugt, the guy who leads worship gatherings all around our state capitol grounds and all
everywhere.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Sean Fugt is a big fan and has been participating in some of these with him. I thought his quote was great. Sean Fugt said, "It wasn't America that founded religious liberty. Religious liberty founded America." That's a good line. But here's the point. The theater of the absurd can be encapsulated in a variety of different ways. In this case, with Kirk Cameron, the theater of the absurd was being enabled by organizations and public libraries that were saying, here's a great idea. Let's just don't say no when the drag queens want to come dress up in their provocative drag and lampoon being women and do that in front of children like it's okay. We'll pretend it doesn't mean anything. It's just silly adults being silly, reading books to children. Awesome. And they read them books like Sally Has Two Mommies and who knows what. But the reality is this. Kirk Cameron is one of those who has said, no more of this. No more. If you're going to create the theater of the absurd, then guess what? I'm going to bring hope to the same venue. I'm going to come in and I'm going to bring a storyline that we believe actually matches what life is. Life is actually, by the way, filled with hope. Life is actually, by the way, filled with, if you live in America, you're already better off no matter what your lot in life than two-thirds of the world. If we say that God doesn't exist, I'm going to tell you my personal story about why I think God does. And if you're going to try and say, I am not loved, I'm going to give you a message that says you are loved. And by the way, you're right just the way you are. You were born in the right body, and it's worth being you. That's what it takes to get away from this whole enabling the theater of the absurd. Because what we're seeing left and right from people like Chuck Todd on CNN and political offices and the folks who preside over women's sports and all of it, what we're seeing is that they are doing nothing but cowing down and allowing more of this behavior, and it never stops. They don't just say, give me that one thing and I'll be fine. They say, give me that thing. And when they do and they get enabled, they come back, give me two more. I want five. And that's what they do. So folks, I'm telling you, we as conservatives, we have got to be on the money, y'all. We have got to look around in our community and go, I see the absurdity of that. And I'm going to call it out. And I'm going to provide an alternative. And right now, I'm going to go to break. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. When we get back, if Boomer can pry it out of him, I might tell him how I almost got beat up by Steven Seagal. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, Tuesday afternoon right here, 3:24 p.m. I'm already into Dipper number two.
Oh, whoa, so here's whoa. You can't just fly on to Dipper two and then say you're not going to tell us the story about Steven Seagal.
Oh, no.
Because I know I'm ready for it. I know some other people are. So you got to just dive into that just real quick.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, I will. You know what? Because it was my almost claim to fame. So, all right. I still got music playing. So the thing is this. I was a platoon leader in a LRS company, that is long range surveillance. It's the modern version of what they call LRPs in the Georgia Guard, right? And we lived in Mobile. Well, remember the movie Under Siege? Steven Seagal is on a battleship, you know, and there's terrorists that take it over.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So they would film that on the USS Alabama right down there in Mobile. Big chunks of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I come home from – so Charlene is pregnant with I believe with Josh, our first.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, she's like – she's way pregnant. Like way
pregnant.
So there was a casting call for extras. And I come home from duty one weekend. She goes, you're not going to believe what I did. Because it's before cell phones. So, you know, you go away for 3 days, you come back and find out what happened because it was before we could keep
right.
up with day to day, minute by minute. So I come home and she goes, you won't believe what I did. And I said, what? She goes, well, the newspaper said they were taking a call for extras. So she said, I went down there to see if I could get you on. And I said, what? You did what? She said, they had to wonder what was going on. She said, I'm standing there this pregnant woman standing in line with all these guys that look like they're trying to be tough and they're going to come be in the Steven Seagal movie. And she goes, and I get up there and I took some pictures of you. And the guy looks at me and goes, I don't think you're what we're looking for or something like that. She goes, no, it's for my husband. And she starts saying, you know, he's an Army Ranger and a paratrooper and he's away on duty this weekend. And I just wanted to come down here and put his name in the hat just for a lark.
Right.
And so she did. Well, daggum if I didn't get a call. So I get a call and for a screen test. And I go down and they're like real mysterious, right?
Uh-huh.
They set up in a hotel, which is a little creepy, but they take a conference room in a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
They tell you what time to show up. There's no cell phones. You can't track anything. So I go there, and there's like, I just walk in. I'm like, whatever, man. I walk in. I'm wearing jeans and a T-shirt or something. There's all these guys that got their you know, professional portfolios in their hands. They look nervous. They're trying out. And I'm thinking,
all right,
should I have done something? So anyway, I go in there, and I do a screen test. They wanted me to react as if I'd seen a bunch of dead bodies. And I had to say something, you know, and I had to. So I got on the camera, and I was like, you know, holy cow or whatever. You know, I forget what the thing was. Well, I get a call. I kid you not. I get a call like 2 weeks later. Mr. Williams, this is so-and-so from Dreadnought Productions.
Uh-huh.
Yes, ma'am. Well, listen, your casting, I mean, your what am I trying to say? Your screen test went extremely well. The director would like to know if you would be interested in a small speaking part as one of the bad guys in the movie. And I was like, yes, I would. Well, we were poor newlyweds. They would pay me like $500 a day just to show up and see if I was going to do one.
Right.
So I said, yes, I would. What do I got to do? And she goes, well, we're going to be doing another screen test in Mobile coming up very soon. We'll do a second screen test with you. It'll be tomorrow. And I said, oh, ma'am, I've got duty tomorrow in the Atlanta area. Mm-hmm. Is there any way I could come in on Monday? It was a simple question. Hollywood. She goes, oh, I'm sorry. You're not available? Click. There's no call tracing. There's no way to find out where they are. I don't have a phone number. They would call you. You can't call them.
Oh,
I had no idea what to do. And that ended my opportunity to get the crap beat out of me by Steven Seagal.
Oh, but you were so close.
I was so close to getting beat up for money.
Man.
I mean, who knows? A speaking part as a bad guy. That would have been awesome.
That would have been pretty
awesome. There's my claim to almost fame.
Oh. And I would have loved to be like, what movie is this on? Because I'm going to watch it tonight.
I kept watching the movie going, I wonder if I would have been him. And then I saw the other guy get beat up and a chain wrapped around his neck and thrown off a ledge. And I thought, I would not want to have been him.
You're like, uh-oh, that may have been me.
I'm pretty sure Steven Seagal used to kill people on his sets back in the day. Have you ever watched him slap people around?
Man.
Good Lord. That's my story. You just totally got me off track now.
Totally.
So, all right, listen, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to come right back, and I will go to Triple Dipper number two, and I'm calling it, we know that they know. Don't tell me they don't know. We got information out there that's enough to where the smoke is just burning your eyes, but yet they're saying there's no fire. I got several of those. We'll talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. I'm talking about this show definitely goes way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. I'm just over here doing stuff, Boomer.
Boomer looks at me like, I told you, like, that's your cue. That's your music. That's your bump.
What do I do, man? I got so many things happening around me.
Too many
things. Can't keep track of all the things. Doing all the things. All right, so I'm in number two of the Triple Dipper. I'm calling this segment, We Know That They Know. I'm sick of hearing this. Here's a great Scrabble word for you, obfuscation. Obfuscation. It basically means you're clouding the moment in the hopes that you can actually obscure the truth. That's the rough analysis or rough definition of the word. Obfuscation. Stop obfuscating with me. Okay. You're being disingenuous. Well, yes, I was. It lacks credibility. I have definite incredulity at the very idea that you would offer me that alternate reality. I'm just making crap up right now. But anyway, that's what's happening. All these multiple syllable words. We know that they know some of this stuff. Here's one of them that just... This is the story that got me kicked into this dipper, right? Have you seen the fact that there has now been a calendar published of the people that convicted pedophile, you know, human trafficker Jeffrey Epstein had been meeting with? We not only have begun to see the list of who was flying on his jet to his private island, which, you know, even the locals knew that island had some weird stuff going on it. But what we're also seeing now is that he was having meetings on a regular basis with people that you look at and go, wow, dang. Don't tell me they didn't know what they were doing. Don't tell me, by the way, that they don't know what happened to Jeffrey Epstein. Yes, so the cameras went down. The guards went on a break. The, you know, roommate who was, you know, pretty definitely a problem, wasn't really, you know, a cellmate, I mean, wasn't really the problem. He committed suicide just at the right time by hanging himself on his bunk. Okay. I'm pretty sure that's not the way it went down. And I believe they know that. I believe they know that. I believe they know who met with him. I believe they know more than they want anybody to know, because there are people, I don't care what party they're in, there are people on both parties and in some royal families who were in the midst of some shady stuff. Well, Epstein's private calendar is now being revealed. Story came out today on Fox News, among others. Jeffrey Epstein's newly revealed private calendar showed scheduled meetings with the current CIA director. So, yeah, the guy who is now the head of the CIA, William Burns, has met with Jeffrey Epstein on multiple occasions since he was convicted of being a pedophile. Jeffrey Epstein's newly revealed private calendar showed scheduled meetings with the current CIA director, a college president, and an attorney who served in the Obama administration, according to a recently published report on Sunday. New documents belonging to the rich convicted pedophile were obtained by the Wall Street Journal, and they show planned meetings with a slew of prominent individuals, including now CIA Director William Burns, Bard College President Leon Botstein, Obama White House Counsel Katherine Rumler, and Professor Noam Chomsky. All the scheduled meetings were slated to take place after Epstein had been jailed. And so I go here and I look like Rumler. She worked for the Obama administration. She was a senior counsel, and she is now one of the senior lawyers at Goldman Sachs. Yeah. Took that position in 2020, according to the Wall Street Journal. The documents show that Epstein was even planning on Rumler joining him for a trip to Paris in 2015 and another visit to his private island in the Caribbean in 2017. Yeah. I'm just saying, something ain't right there with that. But then you look at the story on the same topic from National Review. National Review took their piece and got it out last night. A review of the private calendar of Jeffrey Epstein has revealed the convicted sex offender and financier had meetings not previously reported on with several prominent Americans, including the CIA director. It goes on to say he was convicted of sexually abusing girls as young as 14 in Florida just 2 years before. But the calendar shows multiple meetings with William Burns, who is now the head of the CIA. That's messed up. And I tell you what, someone needs to ask why. Now, what we're being told, here's what we're being told. Oh, Burns was meeting with him because, you know, we were trying to get campaign donations and that kind of thing. This has nothing to do with anything illicit. Okay, you have a convicted pedophile who is persona non grata with many of the elite in the world, but yet strangely still in with others. Why would a guy who apparently is capable of rising to the level of being the head of the Central Intelligence Agency think it was a good idea to be hanging out with Jeffrey Epstein? Why would a person who was so sharp and such a legal mind that she could go from being a senior legal advisor to the president of the United States to now being one of the senior general counsels at Goldman Sachs, of all places, think it was a great idea to consider traveling to his island and taking trips with him to Europe and meeting with him on multiple occasions? Who else was he grooming to put in places that they don't want to talk about? I believe they know. Don't you? I believe they know. There's no doubt my military mind, as my drill sergeant used to say, there's no doubt my military mind, today's a good day to be in the Army. Well, the same is true of this is a good day to bring out the truth. But this obfuscation is unbelievable. The very idea that they're going to, we're just going to say he committed suicide in his cell and hope nobody asked any questions. Well, by God, you know, like Charlie Daniels used to always say, Benghazi ain't going away. Someone needs to go ahead and say, Epstein ain't going away. We have got to start seeing these documents. And people like William Burns, who's the head of the CIA, someone needs to ask him in a public hearing, what were you doing with Jeffrey Epstein? And if you're smart enough to carry the top level security clearances available to the entire Western world, then tell us why you thought it was a good idea to hang out with a convicted pedophile. Just saying. Or were you saying you didn't know? Well, then that tells me you don't pay attention, and why do you have the job you have now? It just boggles the mind. Here's the other one. Don't you think they knew that Hunter Biden's laptop from hell was real? Don't you think they knew that? Well, of course they knew that. But yet, boy, they put on the biggest obfuscation in the world. DeRoy Murdoch, and Charlene and I met DeRoy Murdoch at a conference in D.C. one time. Nice guy. DeRoy Murdoch has a piece that came out on Daily Caller yesterday. DeRoy Murdoch says Democrats have a big lie of their own. They like to say that you know, Trump talking about the election was a big lie. Ooh, okay. Well, former CIA acting director Michael Morell recently gave testimony to the House Intelligence and Judiciary Committees. He explained how he, Biden's presidential campaign, and top U.S. spies bamboozled the American people just 3 weeks before Election Day, even as voters cast their early ballots. We already had early voting going on. If you remember, the New York Post broke the story in 2020, right before the election, about Hunter Biden's laptop. It was not something that was seized. It was not stolen from his car. It was not something that someone hacked into his system. It was not something that somebody planted information on. The dude walked in, and we have the documentation to prove he dropped it off for repairs and never came back and got it. And the guy who had it didn't know what to do with it, so he had to go into it because that was part of the repairs, and he began seeing things like Hunter Biden smoking crack with hookers and, you know, talking about getting money out of foreign governments and like, oh, my gosh, what have I got here? So he turns the thing over to the FBI, who do nothing with it. And then eventually he goes to the press, goes to the New York Post. They run the story. The story comes down. October 14th of 2020, a New York Post exclusive exposed Hunter Biden's so-called laptop from hell. October 17th, Antony Blinken, who is now the Secretary of State. So right now, Biden's CIA director met with a convicted pedophile multiple times and is now the head of the CIA. We've got Antony Blinken, who's now the Secretary of State, was working for the Biden campaign, called up Mike Morell, who had been at one point the acting CIA director, told him we need something out there about this whole situation with the Hunter Biden laptop. To which Morell agreed to go ahead and put together the infamous letter and corral up a bunch of other intel officials and get them to sign off on it, as if they knew something, but they didn't know anything. Because a story just came out 2 days ago. Some of y'all have seen Dan Hoffman. He's a Fox News contributor. I got a story here from Daily Caller. Dan Hoffman was offered the chance to sign on to that letter. Did they know? Darn right they knew. You got the Biden campaign asking for the letter. You got the former director of the CIA under Obama agreeing to put the letter together because he got a call from Blinken, who's now Secretary of State. Did they know? Not only did they know, they solicited this. But a former CIA chief of station said Friday he did not join in with others in the former intel community by signing that letter because, in his words, there was no evidence that it was Russian disinformation. No evidence was presented. So this is Dan Hoffman's words. He says, I got the letter on October 18th of 2020, and at first glance, it seemed natural to lay the blame at the Kremlin's doorstep. So he said, like it's not uncommon. He says, remember, Vladimir Putin's in the Kremlin. He's well known for cloak and dagger espionage operations. At the same time, he said, though, the letter was presented with no evidence. And the letter even noted there was no evidence. He said, I felt like we just needed to do forensics. And he said, there were many others who also didn't sign it. I don't know who they are. He said, look, when I was at CIA, we would sit in Mike Morell's office, the guy who orchestrated the letter. And we had a particularly difficult, challenging intel issue. We would hash it out, hash out all the evidence, We would run back and forth. We would draw analytical conclusions with some level of confidence, low, medium, or high, bring it to the White House. We didn't have that kind of debate about the laptop issue. We were not invited to debate it. They just wanted the signature. Because what happened? About 2 weeks later, President Biden goes to the infamous debate with President Trump, and he waves that letter around as if it means something. It was his get-out-of-jail-free card. Did they know about that? Darn right they knew, and we know that they know. All right, I got one more question for you about what maybe they know when we get back from this break, but I'm telling you, folks, they are doing all they can to obfuscate. There's my big word for the day. But it galls me as if they think the American public is just stupid. Sooner or later, that one piece of paper, it's going to come out. That picture in a drawer, it's going to come out. That hard drive, it's going to come out. Dadgummit, we're going to prove that we know that they know. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. Hey, listen, folks, top of the hour, you're going to want to stay tuned because Dale Jackson will be calling in. We're going to have a conversation about the fact that all across the state of Alabama, we are seeing police departments having great difficulty in recruiting and retaining quality officers. Well, let me just put it that way. Officers in general, I didn't mean to say there's any of them that lack quality. We're looking for people to be police officers, put it that way. Law enforcement is having a difficult time nationwide. And by the way, we're not a defund the police state. So we're going to talk about that. What kind of tone has been set that's having a nationwide impact, even if you're not part of the defund movement? Are you experiencing it? It would seem that we are. So there's that. I will also tell you before I finish up my dipper here, that you hear advertisements all the time on the show. Like we go to break and then there's some of our ad sponsors. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, if you want to advertise, if you listen to this show and you believe in freedom and you believe in the things we espouse with regard to civil liberties and fiscal responsibility and strong families and traditional values, if those are the things you stand for, and this show certainly does, and you want to advertise your business with us, we would love to have you. Right Side is a separate business. The station you hear us on does not own us. We are a separate standalone entity syndicated and sending our signal to them. So as a result, one of the ways that we support what we do here is we sell advertising. And so if you would like to advertise your business on Right Side Radio, go to our website, rightsideradio.org, rightsideradio.org. You click on the advertising place and then you just send us a message and we will be in touch with you immediately. So, yeah, we'd love to have you on the team, become one of the Right Side Ruffian team members, and we'll talk to you and get it all lined up. Text lines are full. I need to go through that in a minute. I will tell you this. Here's my last one about we know that they know. So I don't know if you caught this or not, but, you know, last Tuesday, I believe it was, President Biden did the lamest ever rollout for a presidential campaign, perhaps in the history of rollouts. I don't think we can even qualify it as a rollout. He basically, in the words of Alicia, who works here with Boomer and I at the Right Side office, he basically phoned it in. It's like he put a sticky note on the wall running for president. And the
I like that. Sticky note on the wall. Just, hey, guys, take a look at the sticky note I just posted.
Yeah, just pay attention to that. And get... I had a guy one time, by the way, I say that because I had a guy one time who worked for me militarily, who didn't work for me long, who got kind of bent because he didn't think his comments and his input was being received. And I said, "What input?" "Well, I left you a note." And I said, "What?" He left me a sticky note, and that was his version of providing input that he didn't believe had been received. That's about the way President Biden handled the announcement that he's running for re-election. A lot of the world didn't even know he had done it. The press had to pick up on it and go, apparently we've got a video for the president. It was that lame. Well, the day before that, though, and this struck me as odd. As soon as I saw it, I thought, what's up with this? Susan Rice, who I believe has been one of those in the background making a lot of things happen. Susan Rice, who, of course, worked with the Obama administration. She's been his head of domestic policy. Basically, all the crap we're seeing being slung around the United States by the Biden administration, Susan Rice has been in charge of a lot of that, orchestrating that policy, putting it together. But she announced her departure from the Biden administration the day before he announced he's running for re-election. We know they know. We know they know why she did that. We know they know. And I'm into speculation because I can see it going one of two ways. Either A, Susan Rice is like a rat jumping ship. She did not want to be a part of this, you know, circus, this goat rodeo. She did not want to be in the midst of what was about to be a very uncomfortable campaign for a man who obviously is losing his faculties and will not do a debate and announces his election or his campaign on a video. It's like posting it on Facebook. I mean, it's that lame. Either that or B, they just wanted her out of there. Or C, here's the other piece. There's been talk that there's a alternative to the Biden-Harris administration being generated, that Democrats want somebody else to run. There's even been banter that it might be Michelle Obama. Just saying. Boomer gave me the look. I'm just telling you the banter, brother. Just get a little brotherly banter here. Where would Susan Rice's loyalties be? I would suspect with Michelle Obama.
Yes. That's exactly what I would expect.
If we start seeing... go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, and they need somebody that has clout that's going to rise up, you know, try to rise up everyone else. And it's not Biden. No. And that's where she, you know, she may see herself going.
I think that, yeah, I agree. Get out while the getting's good. Let him hang himself. Don't want to be a part of that, you know, turd biscuit. And then go work with the team you really want to be a part of to try and replace him and keep Trump from coming back in. I think they know. I think they know exactly what's going on. In the meantime, y'all stay tuned. Dale Jackson coming in. We're going to talk about the efforts of police forces around the state to recruit and retain, and it ain't easy. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live on the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, all the issues covering down on them, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, Boomer, I'm making it all the way to the third dipper, and it's only 4 o'clock.
I know.
What are we going to do?
I'm impressed. This is going to be good.
I hope so.
Maybe some more stories about Steven Seagal.
No, right? I only almost got beat up one time. I don't know if I have any more of those. But, hey, so listen, we're going to switch gears here. Number three on the triple dipper today, Safe Streets is what I'm calling it. And I began to just kind of wade through the number of stories out there about even the major municipalities in the state struggling to recruit and retain police officers. Law enforcement is having as much trouble as the U.S. military is right now with recruiting and retention. Pray tell, why would that be? We're going to dissect it a little bit. My friend Dale Jackson, host of The Dale Jackson Show on 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN up in Huntsville. He's also, by the way, writes for Yellowhammer News. Anyway, bring it on Dale Jackson right now. Hey, bud, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here.
Good. So your little guy's not running in the stairwell right now, right?
No, he still is. He doesn't listen one bit, and I think he's kind of mocking me now that he knows I'm otherwise predisposed.
He knows you're a slave to the microphone now, and he can get away with stuff.
That's correct. He's, you know, for a kid who's sick today, he sure is going a little crazy.
All right, Mr. Mom, let me run this by you. In the world that we live in right now, I mean, Alabama didn't get all neck deep in the defund the police stuff, although we had a few issues here and there. But we didn't go into it like places like San Francisco and L.A. and Chicago and Atlanta. But there's stuff out there. But right now, though, we are suffering for people. Law enforcement's got, you know, depleted ranks. Your thoughts on where that came from?
Well, I mean, it's the exact same thing. I mean, loss of respect for authority in general, it would be probably one issue. The other would be the idea that if you are a police officer, you you probably hate black people. That would, I think, probably be the argument that people would generally make, and I don't think many people want to find themselves in that situation. So it would probably not be a fun thing to do. They've destroyed it reputationally, which is sort of the same as the first one. But just think about this: when you're growing up, when I'm growing up, when Boomer's growing up, you know, what do you want to be? Well, I want to be a cop, or I want to, you know, you say I want to be a baseball player or something like that. You know, I don't think people say cop anymore, and I think that has a big impact on it too, because we treat them like it's somehow bad. I mean, good Lord, we had a TV show called Paw Patrol, where the cop dog, I think his name is Chase, he's now, there's a cat version of it now too. I can't believe that, but anyway, the dog Chase is considered copaganda. They actually come up with a term for it. Law and Order is considered propaganda now.
Come on.
We're pretending being too nice about the cops is like somehow bad. And we don't want to do that. We don't want people to think the cops are good people.
But you know what? Find me a profession where people throw themselves into harm's way for the greater good, and they're not quality people. I mean, that's the kind you want, the kind of person in there who's going to throw themselves into harm's way, male or female, and stand there in the gap for the greater good, which is what law enforcement does. All right, so you were in the military, so was I. You know what it's like to work in an environment where it's high stress, or you've got to have teamwork. And at the same time, you know, you walk out into the civilian world in uniform and people say, hey, thanks for your service. Are we seeing that kind of thing right now nationwide for police?
Among sane people, yes. I mean, here's the thing that you got to remember. Much of the Democrat strategy right now is to say things that everyone knows they don't believe. That's it in a nutshell. Their entire message is one of disingenuous nonsense.
Yeah.
When Hillary Clinton has a problem, who does she call? Not a social worker. She calls a police officer. But you would listen to them talk sometimes, and you would think they would think that the police are out to harm people. And they know it's not true. And again, like I said, 90% of the stuff we hear from these people are things that they don't even believe, but they're just saying it because they feel like they have to, or they have to. For example, Dylan Mulvaney is a woman. Nobody believes that. No, nobody believes that. Yet they say it because they essentially have to, or their base will eat them alive.
Well, you just labeled the whole first hour of my show. You must have been listening,
every day.
I called that whole segment enabling the theater of the absurd. Basically, because no one will say no anymore, they keep getting away with more and more and more. And that's what's happening, I think, with law enforcement. We are seeing right now in cities like Huntsville, Birmingham. Birmingham's offering a $5,000 signing bonus to be a police officer because they can't get people, and they're struggling. And it's not because the local community defunded the police. It's because nationwide, it's been made so unattractive. And they've been demeaned so often that people are thinking, why do I want to do that? Why do I want to be a part of that? Why subject myself to that?
I mean, there's another side to it too. If you wanted to be a police officer in Alabama, why would you choose Birmingham? Like for what reason would you choose Birmingham, given the reputation of the city and the way people talk about it? Some earned. I mean, I'm not trying to say that Birmingham has the best reputation, all this other stuff, nor does Alabama or anything like that. But the way people talk about the police and some of their leadership, I mean, come on. You're not going to tell me that Randall Woodfin's always been supportive of the police. No, he gives the standard national Democrat talking point that we've got to reimagine and that nonsense. And we all know what that means. That's just a coward's way of saying defund the police. And they don't, everyone knows it. And again, once again, stating things that they don't remotely believe just because they feel like they have to or their base will eat them.
Yeah, well, in Birmingham, by the way, I was shocked when Randall Woodfin did not call for defunding the police because it was on the heels of him establishing policies that said they will no longer be allowed to have no-knock warrants, which is basically saying you have reasonable suspicion that a serious situation lies inside that door, but you have to knock first and announce yourself. All that does is let them arm themselves inside the room. And then yep. The other is no more flashbang grenades because those are scary. Anyway, all he did was make police officers' lives more risky, and those kind of missions like SWAT teams would use for dynamic entry more difficult and more deadly.
It's unbelievable. And the goal, what's the goal here? Is the goal to make the community safer? I mean, is the argument that the Democratic Party is making one that they actually believe? Like, just ask yourself, do they believe that having less people in jail makes the community safer or not?
Yeah.
I mean, just ask that question. It should be as common as the what is a woman question. I mean, because it's so stupid and everyone already knows the answer, but they also know that the people you're asking that to, if it gets to the point where you're having that conversation, you already know that person doesn't want to answer that question honestly. You know it because you wouldn't be having that stupid conversation with somebody that did want to answer it honestly. So it's all fraudulent, and the entire hook here is that they don't want to upset their precious little base of babies. And look, I get it. They're scary. I'd be scared of their base, too, if I was them. Okay? Their base is both stupid and active. So that's a pretty dangerous combination of traits. And they don't really seem to care what the facts are. And you know, most people making these decisions and voting on these decisions, they don't have to live in the community where this is happening.
Yeah.
Okay. They don't have to think about that kind of stuff. But yes, to answer your broader point, is there a trickle down in communities that didn't want to defund the police? Are they having issues with the police now too? Obviously, yes. 100% correct.
Yeah. And I guess closing comments for me is if you look at it, it's a leadership issue. And had the president of the United States come out and said, no, we're not going to denigrate the men and women in blue. I mean, look at Florida. Florida said, if y'all want to come down here, we'll pay you a bonus to move to Florida. And Ron DeSantis came out and said, I support the men and women in blue. And in this state, you will have a home and we will care about you. And I'm going to tell you right now, they recruited people flying in from, you know, New York and everywhere else to take jobs in Florida as law enforcement officers. It was a leadership issue. Leadership.
It goes further than that, though. I mean, you also got to remember, you know, you talk about this and you talk about the recruiting and bringing people in and all these other things. There are some communities where, you know, they don't feel like they have the support of the people or the respect of the politicians. And why are you going to go put yourself on the line for either?
Yeah, totally get it, man. All right, spot on. I knew you would be. But listen, go get your little man before he runs down the stairs.
I will. I'll stop him.
All right, Dale Jackson, host of the Dale Jackson Show on 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, and with Yellowhammer News. Appreciate you. Have a great day. All right. Well, listen, we'll take a break right now. We'll come back, and we're going to keep this going. Safe streets. What's it take to have safe streets? Well, they found out in West Hollywood, California, that the new security ambassadors who are unarmed and basically act like crossing guards, they're of no value whatsoever. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, folks, you hear our sponsors all the time. Let me tell you about one of them, personally speaking. ZLA Solutions. ZLA Solutions. I do know these folks personally. I've known them for quite a while. They do an amazing job, and they've had one of the biggest years they've ever had just doing what they do best, which is helping businesses with various solutions, but one of their biggest ones, their bread and butter, staffing. So I will say this, if you're an individual who needs a job, they've got a lot of them posted right now on their website. Go to ZLAUSA.com. Check them out. They've got jobs posted all over North Alabama and beyond. But the big thing is for those of y'all that own a business or run a business, that you are an employer or employer group and you need people, well, they can do that. Doesn't matter what it is. In the restaurant industry, the service industry, automotive, they've got high-tech jobs at Redstone Arsenal right now. They've got any number of jobs in factories and manufacturing. So I'm just telling you, they're good at what they do. They are working for big-name clients. You would recognize all these names. And they are getting an epic job done of lining up people with the jobs that are needed to be filled. So check them out, ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. Good at what they do. I know them personally. And when you talk to them, do me a favor. Tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. So, So defund the police took various forms around the nation. Sometimes it was just, we're not going to give you as much money. Other times it was, we're going to have a natural attrition and not hire people to replace officers who leave. Other times it was a true slashing of the budget. And sometimes it was to bring a new means of community policing. Wow. So if you live in West Hollywood, California, you might be interested to see people they call security ambassadors. If there's ever been a touchy-feely name, boom, that would be it, man. Security ambassadors. We're here to represent the city and to be an ambassador for the city to bring you security.
That sounds like it's going to go over well.
Well, the headline, funny you say that, headline from townhall.com says, 2 days ago, says, surprise, West Hollywood's security ambassadors are not going as planned. As you choke on your drink. Says the city of West Hollywood. And by the way, I saw the video that went with the story. I'll read this first and I'll tell you. The city of West Hollywood cut funding for 4 Los Angeles County sheriff's deputies to patrol the area and replace them with unarmed security ambassadors. New video taken inside the city shows an assault taking place mere feet away from security ambassadors who take no action to step in. The incident occurred last week at the intersection of Santa Monica and San Vicente Boulevards outside the Los Angeles County Sheriff's West Hollywood station, right outside the station. According to KABC, a local station out there, the footage shows a man in a white sedan stopped at a crosswalk, and another man comes up and kicks the driver's door. The driver opens the door and gets out to confront him. The two men begin fighting on the street, and the bad guy jumps in to steal his vehicle. Meanwhile, two security, I saw the video, and they looked like nothing but school crossing guards. Remember when I was a kid, man, I just so wanted to wear that little hard hat and the reflector belt and go out there and tell cars to stop. People can cross the street. That's what they looked like. It was a joke. And they stood there watching like, huh, look at that. What's going to happen over there? Oh, it's not going to go well for him. The West Hollywood resident Ethan Reynolds, who recorded the video, said, well, there's a learning curve.
Wow. There's a learning curve.
So is there an academy? I mean, police officers have to get, like in Alabama, you have to get APO certified. You have to be a graduate of the academy.
Right.
I see nothing in here that tells me that security ambassadors.
They get a little just sticker, probably.
Or a reflector belt.
Reflector belt.
Yeah.
White gloves.
Yeah. Exactly. For white gloves. Yes, the white gloves, too. I forgot about that.
White gloves.
Yeah. Stop in the name of the law.
They carry around a stop sign.
Oh. It says, there's a learning curve, said West Hollywood resident Ethan Reynolds, who recorded. And we've all learned in the past couple of years, but having a police officer around makes me feel safer. He says, I know not everyone feels that way. Well, I got news. The guy who has his car jacked just a minute ago would probably feel that way. So Then you look at, like, by the way, I love the city of Asheville, North Carolina. You ever been there?
Yes.
I love Asheville, North Carolina. In fact, I used to work for Young Life Ministries. One of our properties we took kids to every year was right outside of Asheville in the mountains called Windy Gap. Love that place. So apparently, in the wake of Defund the Movement, North Carolina's Asheville is having a big struggle with downtown crime and doesn't know what to do about it. City leaders of a North Carolina tourist town that has been plagued with rising violent crime in recent years announced a 60-day initiative last week to improve conditions in its downtown district. By the way, Asheville's beautiful. Very cool architecture, lots of restaurants in the mountains of North Carolina. And it says they're taking what they call targeted steps to address the rising number of incidents affecting public safety. Things like somebody got their throat slashed at the bus stop just the other day. It says there are, this is a quote from the city, there are complex circumstances contributing to the safety issues that Asheville is currently seeing. It's not complicated. Don't make it rocket science. It's because you're not into hiring police officers and giving them what they need to do their jobs. It goes on to say, the city says, it will take a community response to address these. The community wants you to hire more police officers, you jackwagon. Multiple city departments are coordinating a city government response, and we also need participation from community leaders. How about this? You are the community leaders. You're the city government. Hire police, patrol the streets, stop the crime, enforce the law. It is not hard. It's been done since the founding of this nation. And I'm going to tell you, if you think that's not doable, then you have to look back and figure out how they did it for 200 years before you became mayor. All right, folks, I got more on this. I'm going to bring it right home to Alabama. We got issues with recruiting and retention right here in our beautiful state. We'll talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. Yeah, man, this show's signal goes way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. Hey, listen, before I go any further, got to pause momentarily and tell you about the Elm Foundation. ELM, it stands for Expect Little Miracles, the Elm Foundation. I mean, they are just doing some really cool stuff, changing people's lives. So the Elm Foundation, they're a 501c3 nonprofit group based out of Huntsville, and they are doing things that are literally helping people get off the street, find their self-worth again, get their job certifications, their resumes built, getting out there, finding work, and becoming productive members of society again. And they're doing it not by just throwing money at it like the government would do, right? They're actually out there walking through it with people, helping them with accountability, setting milestones for them to make. And folks, they're changing people's lives. So I encourage you, check them out. Their website is Elm, it's E-L-M, H-S-V, as in Huntsville. It's elmhsv.org, and you'll see it right there, all the stuff they do. elmhsv.org. And by the way, one of the cool things about them, being a 501c3, they do accept donations. Any dollar that goes to the Elm Foundation goes straight to their work because they have a benefactor who has already underwritten all of their administrative work. And that's just very cool. I can tell you, having run 501c3s, that means the world. But yeah, Elm Foundation at elmhsv.org. And if you talk to them, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. All right, hey, listen, I'm in this last dipper. It's a triple dipper day.
Triple dipper day.
Do we applause at least?
I just need like horns or something. That'd be really cool.
Thank you very much. So dealing with safe streets, talking about defund the police. Alabama didn't see much defund the police. We saw some jackassery from decisions made by did I say the word? I did, by Mayor Randall Woodfin down in Birmingham. We've seen some complete disrespect by other members of the community in different communities. And those would be in the more liberal venues like Montgomery. But I'll say this. Alabama did not have, even in Birmingham, which where I kind of expected it to happen, Alabama did not see a defund the police effort. But what we did see was a rise in crime that seemed to mean that even though we did not defund here, that the national tone being set by the defund the police movement, by the Black Lives Matter riots, by the Biden administration encouraging such behavior, what we began to see more and more of was that it sets a tone for the actual nation. People left and right right now can tell you that what's happening in their community, they believe is attributable to this. A poll was done last year, actually. Centersquare.com has a piece right out a year ago. It says 3 out of 4 Americans say defunding police departments has contributed to the rise in violent crime across the country, according to a new poll. It was a Politico Morning Consult poll. It was released saying that 75% of Americans say defunding police is a reason that violent crime increased across the United States. The survey reports that 49% said defunding police was a major reason. 26% said it was a minor reason. And then only 25% said it was not a reason. I don't know what that 25% was smoking. Experts have echoed the point that the defund movement leads to more violent crime, saying police officers fear a lack of support if they're involved in a fatal shooting. This leads them to avoid more dangerous neighborhoods altogether. The police also found that 2/3 of those surveyed believe that increasing funding would reduce crime. Okay. Alabama Public Radio. Alabama Public Radio had a piece that came out in just about a month ago. Headline, police did not get defunded, but many large departments are still shrinking. Interesting. It's Alabama Public Radio, but they focused on New Orleans. A new criminology study, it says, of 14 large police departments found that most have had a, quote, excess loss of sworn full-time officers since 2020. So basically what happened was the nationwide movement. Remember the marching across the bridge? Where was that? Miami? You know, something like, you know, make them fry bacon, something like that. It was unreal. And that was just allowed constantly to be the. And it wasn't just, you know, ne'er-do-wells. It began to be political leaders who would step outside of the courthouse, the city halls, the sheriff's departments, and kneel down in front of BLM like they were choosing solidarity. No, they weren't. They were choosing to be subservient. And the police saw this. So it says right here in the study, in 2010, New Orleans PD had about 1,500 officers. A decade later, it was down to about 1,200. And then just since 2020, they're down to 944. Do you hear that? It took, they lost 300 officers in a decade. And then the BLM riots occurred, and the nation went into defund the police mode, and the Biden administration signaled that it was all for that. And now what? They dropped from 1,200 to 944. What's my math here? I'm looking at right around what? 260-something, 256. What that basically means is they lost almost as much just since the BLM riots as they did in the prior decade. It says, we're looking at a situation where the department this year has lost already 20 more officers. This is, by the way, this article came out in March of this year. It said it really impacts everything. You're seeing response times that have gone from an average of about 50 minutes for any type of call to over 2.5 years. Can you imagine 911, what is your emergency? We'll have someone there in 2.5 hours. Why did I call? It says one thing after another. You sit there with your mouth open, said one resident. Criminals know there's not enough officers on the streets. They know this. She's a rideshare driver. She gets off the street by 4 o'clock. She won't do it after 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Used to be that they were starting to improve their scores, but now New Orleans is back to being the murder capital of the nation. But right here in our hometowns, Birmingham, 1819 News. Birmingham PD, the story came out at the end of the year. The Birmingham PD announced Monday it will be offering new recruits $5,000 signing bonuses. The hiring incentive comes at a time when crime around the country is on the rise, and crime in Birmingham is definitely skyrocketing. According to an organization called Neighborhood Scout, Birmingham is among the most dangerous cities in the United States, only safer than 1% of other U.S. cities. Birmingham has a violent crime rate of 16.6 per 1,000 residents. Someone's chances of becoming a victim of violent crime in Birmingham is 1 in 60. In Alabama, these chances are 1 in 225. So you see where we are. Statewide, you got a 1 in 225 chance of becoming a victim of violent crime. Then you go to Birmingham, it's 1 in 60. It says in September, the Gwinnett Police Department from over in the Atlanta area came over here and held a hiring event, hiring people away. According to Zippa.com, it says Alabama has the second lowest average police officer salary in the country, an average of $31,858. Mississippi's the only one lower. Folks, that's got to change. That's 1819 News. Then you look at Fox 10 reporting out of Mobile. Mobile just had in the end of the year, around the same time, the city's 70th police academy graduated. 10 new recruits will hardly make a dent in the officer shortage, it says. They had started off with 19 recruits. They lost 9 of them during training, which may be a good thing. They're weeding out the ones who can't hang. But they're down 72 officers. They have an authorized strength of 488, but they're down 72 from what they need to have just for their authorized strength. It's a slight improvement, they say, though. They raised the starting pay and offered some monetary incentives. But the reality is, patrol officers now earn more than $50,000 a year, up from $32,000, but they're still short of the people they need. Folks, it's that way everywhere. I've got a story here similar from Montgomery, Millbrook, Auburn. You look around, and then we get down to our state troopers. State troopers, I'm really rather shocked by this. State troopers right now, according to an article from WSFA that came out just a month ago, Alabama needs more state troopers. Lawmakers are trying to address a shortage. State troopers remain frustrated. It says numbers released exclusively to WSFA show that 285 troopers are needed to fill the slotted 575 positions. You know what that means? We're down to 50%. We're at 50% of state troopers. We're allotted by budget and by state requirements and whatever else to have 575 state troopers in the force. And apparently we need another 285 to even make that happen. Folks, that's where we're bottoming out at that point. State troopers, we're down 50%. Are you kidding me? I knew we were probably short, but I had no idea it was that low. Can you imagine? And this is, by the way, this article is only about a month old. And then it lists every county. It has the different counties, what their current number is, what they're slotted for. I mean, I can look around. Let me find a few counties from the district, from the listening area. Calhoun County is slotted, has 10 state troopers that report to the Calhoun County station. They are allowed to have 21. Right there in I-20, the human trafficking corridor. Find another one in our listening area. Let's see here. Where's Madison? Madison County. Madison County has 8 troopers. They're allowed to have 23. Jefferson County has 12 troopers. They're allowed to have 17. Lauderdale County has 5 troopers. They're allowed to have 10. Limestone County has 8. They're allowed to have 13. Where's Etowah? Etowah County is allowed to have, has 8. They're allowed to have 12. Folks, I'm telling you, this is serious business. And I really believe that what's happened is the Defund the Police movement got so full of itself, and it accomplished its mission even though we didn't defund everywhere. Because what they did was they set an evil tone that people look at and go, I want to serve, and I'm good with going into harm's way. But I want to know that the people who are going to be in charge of me are going to have my back. I want to know that the budgets are going to allow me to have someone to ride, you know, as my wingman. And right now, we can't say that. And right here in the state of Alabama, we underfund our police. We pay them less than a teacher for going into harm's way. And we send them out there every day knowing that we don't have enough to truly give them backup. And that's just wrong. And every bit of it, in my opinion, started really escalating during the 2020 BLM riots. And the Biden administration and liberal governors and major metropolitan leaders around the nation, shame on them, because they're the ones who created this. And I'm proud that in Alabama we didn't go down that road in a big way, but we allowed it to perpetrate. I don't know that we're seeing this right now in Florida. Florida's governor, Ron DeSantis, is the one who's recruiting from other states and telling them, you come here, we have your back. And in Alabama, I think we've got some good legislation in place and we're doing more. But the truth is, we need more active leadership around our state to give the police officers and the state troopers who work for us the sense that we do have their back. That's what it's going to take to put the trust back in place, because at this point, the trust got broken in the opposite direction. All right, Boomer, take us to the break, brother. We'll do that right now. Last break of the day. Coming right back, we'll put a lid on it. Folks, it's been a good one. Triple Dipper, we got through all of it, Boomer. Even that and a Steven Seagal story.
Yes.
All right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. I got to tell you, two great texts. One, Julie from Kentucky. I know Julie from Kentucky. Julie from Kentucky just texted in and said, I wonder how many college students did not become police officers like they planned after graduating with criminal justice degrees or similar degrees since 2020. This is because of the riots, the pandemic, the lack of community support for our police. That's what happened with my daughter, she says. So sad. I agree. And by the way, Julie, she would have been excellent at it. And if she ever reconsiders, she has our prayers and support. Jason from Jasper, though, Boomer. Jason from Jasper. You see the picture?
I just saw the picture.
Jason from Jasper just texted in, says he's strolling through Walmart and he ran across maple bacon donut flavored cereal. And he showed a picture of it.
It's right there.
It's real.
I'm just not sure what I would do with that.
Now, I will say this. It looks like a store brand,
uh-huh.
And it comes in a bag, not a box. But I'm thinking somebody out, see, maple bacon donuts are a thing.
But it is the color. Are those the colors of Dunkin' Donuts? I don't know. Maybe they're not.
I don't know, man. So. But all I know is... They got the combo right. Maple bacon. That's the official food of Right Side Radio for those who don't know.
Maple bacon donuts.
Maple bacon donuts. You got maple, you got bacon, you got donuts all in one place.
Mm.
I got a caller on the line. Jeff from Indiana. How you doing, buddy?
I'm predicting you're going to be eating some maple bacon donut cereal for breakfast and cereal Wheaties.
may have to just try it out. We don't know.
Oh, yeah. You got to try it anyway.
What's going on, man? You're not on the road, I heard today. Running the backhoe. There's no traffic with a backhoe.
Well, I was on the road with a backhoe, basically. I got a rock yard about a mile from my place there, and it's easier to haul rock with a backhoe than it is a pickup, so I've been doing some rounds.
What's on your mind, dude?
But hey, I don't feel a bit sorry for these communities that's having trouble with the crime and everything, because they voted for it. I mean, they're the ones who want it, and they're getting what they voted for. At some point, Darwinism has to kick in. And, if you're too dumb to live, then you will die. It's just that thing. It's just that simple. And if you're too dumb to either vote these people out or vote some intelligence in and aren't smart enough to get out of the neighborhood if you can't, then you get what you get.
Well, I'll be honest with you, though, man. On the cities that did that, I say yeah. But what I'm seeing right now is there's trends that clearly indicate that cities like pick one, Huntsville, Mobile, that did not get into the defund movement, they're still feeling the nationwide ramifications of police feeling like there's a trend against police and they're just not signing up anymore.
Well, they're going to have to either pay the money and support them, or suffer the consequences. That's what it boils down to. You get what you pay for and you get what you vote for. So if you want protection, you've got to vote for it.
Well, I don't disagree with that. Let me ask you this, man. You spend a lot of time up and down the interstates. in most of your day-to-days. So Alabama, mm-hmm. I was shocked to find just now as I was reading out a study that came out just in the last month or so that Alabama is literally running at about 50% of state troopers in the last few years. Can you tell that yourself? I mean, you know how you kind of get a feel for where things are.
Yeah. From Tennessee to Alabama, there's a big difference. Tennessee, there's a state trooper every 5 miles or less, and they've been hitting them pretty hard down through there that, you know, last few weeks and stuff. But Alabama, they got a few unmarks, but used to get pulled over every now and then to a road DOT check because they don't have an actual way station, and haven't been stopped in a long time now. And I don't really see that many troopers in Alabama. It's true.
Yeah. Wow. All right, man. We're about to hit the end of the show. Appreciate your time, buddy. And good luck back on the road when you get back out there. Yeah. All right. Jeff from Indiana, one of our regular callers. We have an amazing audience. You know, we just do. Good folks. And I didn't even get to the text messages, which are just covered up. I can see people like Colin from Decatur, Dave from Battleground, David from Huntsville, Rita from Scottsboro, Mike from Huntsville, Cameron from Decatur, Jeff from Holly Pond. I mean, I see all your texts, folks. I'm just realizing I couldn't even get to them today because we had content that kept on going. John from Lexington, South Carolina. Anyway, all right. But we do what we do, though. Boomer and I are here every day at 2 o'clock, and it's because of y'all. It's not because we like to hear ourselves talk. We like the fact that y'all actually listen and make this a responsive show. I mean, we come in and start saying things, and the text messages start flooding in. How cool is that? All right, folks, we'll be back here tomorrow, too, to do it again with you. And don't forget, by the way, like Charlene always says, there's a whole lot more of us than we are of them. We'll see you tomorrow.